Today's share in the Daf Yomi is the Gemara in Shabbos, Daf Kuf Tes Zayin. And we're beginning about a quarter of the way down with the words, Iboy Luhu HaGilyonin Shosei for Torah. We left off yesterday with the discussion about the parish of Ahi bin Soharon, and we said that that is a certain size, 85 letters, that if you have a Sefer Torah that has that much letters behind that are still left, even though the rest of the Sefer Torah has been erased, that's considered a significant Sefer Torah, and you have to be gonez that, we have to put it into Shemos. So we're asking today, Iboilu, HaGilyonin Shel Sefer Torah. What about the parchment that doesn't have any writing on it? We know a Sefer Torah, by definition, has to have certain spaces, parchment that is left unwritten upon, as well as if you have letters that were erased, there's now left parchment behind it. So the Gemara is asking right now, in this situation, HaGilyonin, the parchment, Shel Sefer Torah, Matzilin Oso Mipnei Adleika, O Ein Matzilin Oso Mipnei Adleika. Do you or do you not have an obligation to go and save such empty parchment? Rashi brings down over here that our question at the beginning is, these Klofim Chalokim, these clear, empty parchments, the original question is Hashda de Behold Studin Shu Chalokim. For any reason that they're empty, that they're smooth. Komaboyle, the question is being asked. For example, Gon, Cholok Shilamala Vishilamata, it's empty at the top and at the bottom. There's certain size requirements for a Sefer Torah that you have a certain amount of space at the top and at the bottom, Shilamata at the bottom, Shinimchak Ksovo, or parts of it that are erased, the Nasa Cholok, it became smooth, it became erased. So the question right now we're asking, any type of open parchment, whether it had writing and it was erased, or it didn't have writing on it, does it require to be saved on Shabbos from a Deleika? In other words, it has a status of being something that we have to put into Shemos. So Toshma, we're going to bring a right for the following Brisa. Sefer Torah Shibboleth. It says that the Sefer Torah has been worn out. So im yesh bo lelaket shmonim v'chomesh osios kigon parshas v'hi ben soron. So if it has the size of the amount of letters that are left that are not worn out, that's equal to the number of letters in v'hi ben soron, which is 85 letters. This is what we discussed in yesterday's shir. In this situation, matzilin, then you have to save the Sefer Torah. It has to be saved on Shabbos, and it would require geniza. V'im la'av, if not, ein matzilin, then you wouldn't have to go and save it. In other words, you wouldn't be required to go and on Shabbos do something, be over this Isser of carrying it outside, taking it outside to a place that didn't have an Erev, it didn't have a sheet of Mavayos, if it only had less than 85 letters in it. Now, Vamai, why is that so? Even though it has less than 85 letters, Tepek Le Mishum Gilyom Didei. Let us say that it's the parchment. So the parchment should be enough of a reason to go and save it. Therefore, in this situation, clearly the answer would be that the parchment isn't enough to save it. So Gemara says, no, bolo shiny. It's different if it's worn out. Rashi has a beautiful explanation over here. Rashi says, the kivun shibolo, since the letters are erased, af hagilyon batel, not only are the letters erased, but the kedusha of the cloth in those spaces is erased as well. V'chimi vayale, and the question that was asked, shal gilyonin kayamim elo shaksav holach. So here they're asking that if it's not talking about where it's worn out, he's asking if it's not worn out, but the letters have been erased, so then what is the halachic status? So that question still remains. That question hasn't been answered. Try again. Toshma. Sefer Torah shenimchak. If you have a Sefer Torah that is erased. Im yesh bo lelakeit shmonim v'chomesh osios. Kigon parishas v'hi ben soron. So this brisa says specifically, if there is an erased Sefer Torah, in other words, the parchment is fine, it just was erased, so then you look at, does it have the 85 letters? If it has the 85 letters, so then matzilin, on Shabbos, you'd have to save it. V'im lav, if you don't have the 85 letters, ein matzilin, you don't have to save it. Now, v'amai, if this is true, that the parchment requires saving as well, typically mishum gilyon the day, then you should have to go and save it because of the gilyon. For the fact that it still says in this brisa that it's only if it's 85 letters that you have to save it, so therefore, obviously the parchment is not in and of itself, enough to save the Sefer Torah. Sumer says, no. He's asking over here, not in the place where the letters were. Where the letters were, we know that once it's been erased, that's it. End of the discussion. So, Mokum haksav lo komi boyle. We understand and know, as Rashi says, the vade migra gora. The places where there was writing on were never blank parchment has Kedusha. They were blank parchment that would have Kedusha because there's going to be writing on it. It's only because you're going to write on it that it has Kedusha. And as soon as the writing is gone, so the Kedusha of the Klaf is also gone. The Chi Kadosh Agav Ksav, who the Kadosh, the Gemara says. It's only Kadosh because of the writing. Oz al Ksav, as soon as the writing is gone, it's erased. Oz lo Kedushase. So the Kedusha of that Klaf, where the writing was, is also gone. So therefore, the question isn't asked and answered. That's not the case that the question was talking about. Ki Komaboyele, the question that was asked about the Gilyon, do you save it or not, just if there's Gilyon, now we get to the real question. The intentionally left blank spots, which are part of the Kedusha of the Sefer Torah. You must leave some space at the top for beauty. You must leave some space at the bottom for beauty. As Rashi says, the mitchila l'shem cholok kodesh. They're intentionally made to be a Sefer Torah that is blank in those parts. So even if the rest of the Sefer Torah is not there, so the rest of the Sefer Torah has lost its Kedusha, but what about these parts? That's the question. Does that require it to be saved or not? So this is the question. In between one parsha and another parsha, we have a pey or a samach. Those are intentionally left blank. In between column to column. The beginning, you have to have a certain amount of space before Bereishis starts. And at the end, it's Zos HaBrach, you have to have a certain amount of space. So therefore, that's what we're asking over here. So that's the Gemara's question. What about those? That type of a scroll. Do you have to save that type of a scroll or not? That's the question. Now, if you're saying that a scroll that doesn't have 85 letters will not require it to be saved, well, clearly then, that's asked now, does this scroll that had 85 letters originally, and now it doesn't have, it was a Sefer Torah originally, and now it doesn't have the letters, but it still has the spaces of the parchment that were supposed to be spaces, and yet we don't say Matzilin. Therefore, that's the answer. No, the Gilyonim shall Sefer Torah aren't Matzil. Shmuel says, no, the guy is Vishadi. You know what we're talking about? They were cut off. Those parts above and below, beginning and end, they were cut off and were only left with the actual area that was once written on. So there, if you only have 85 letters, if you don't have 85 letters, then it doesn't require Matzilin. But if you have 85 letters, it is required Matzilin. But there is no spaces. So therefore, we don't have an answer yet. Try again. Toshma. Hagoyonin shomala v'shomata. Here it says beferish in the brisa, the spaces at the top, the parchment at the top or at the bottom, or shebein parashol parasha, in between the parashos, shebein daf l'daf, in between column to column, shebetchilas sefer before bereishis, shebesof sefer after zos habracha. It says beferish in this brisa mitamim es hayadayim. They are mitamim the yadayim. Now if they're mitamim the yadayim, so they have Kedusha. Now, this whole idea that the Sefer Torah is Matami, we had that earlier in the Masechta, and we said that the rabbis gave a certain status of Tumah because people would put their Trumas and Maisus in the Aron Kodesh. They said, this is Kedusha, Trumas and Maisus, and the Sefer Torah has Kedusha. And what happened is the mice came and they would eat the Sefer Torah as they ate the Trumas and Maisus. So therefore, the rabbis said, no, if you touch the Sefer Torah, you're going to be metame your hands. This is a gzera de rabbanon, a din de rabbanon, and therefore the people won't put the trumas and maisis anywhere near them. So that solved that problem. But what do you see? That this brisa says that even the clear parchment that's intentionally left blank is metame the adayim. So therefore, shouldn't it be, if this is kedusha, so then therefore you should be matzilin. So does that answer the question, are the goyonim required to be matzil? So Mar says, maybe not. Adumo, Agav Sefer Torah shiny. No, maybe the only reason why they have Kedusha to them is because they're part of a regular Sefer Torah. And only as part of a regular Sefer Torah do they have Kedusha to them. And that's what Rashi says over here. Duma Agav Sefer Torah. Shalom Nimchak Sava Sefer. Elokulu Kayim. In that situation, Vizeh Nogav Begoyonim. And if you touch the space over here, in that situation, it would be Metame. But V'chim B'boyalon, the Nimchak HaSefer, but that doesn't answer the question, what about if the letters have been erased? Ben Kan Kedusha of a Sefer Torah. Then El Mishum Gilyon Sheshimshu Ba'odokayim. So then, what is the halachic status? That we don't know yet. So we try again. Toshma HaGilyonim V'Sifrei Minim. Here it says the Gilyonim, which is these parchments that were intentionally left blank because that's the halacha, as well as the Sifrei Minim. What is Sifrei Minim? Rashi says these are Mishorsim Li'avodah Zorah V'Kosulem Torah Nevi'im K'suvim K'sav Ashurus Loshon HaKodesh. So these Minim were written by of the Avodah Zorah, and they wrote Tanakh, they wrote real Svarim in the regular script, the script of Ashuris, and in Hebrew, and these Tanakh that they wrote, what is the halachic status of them? So the Brisa says, if they were just parchment, or if they were the Sefri Minim, Ein Matzilin Osam Mipnei Dleika, you do not save them on Shabbos from a fire, Ela Nisrafim Mimakomim, you let them burn, because they don't have real Kedusha. Hein Yaskor Hussein, they themselves, and even the Shemos of Hashem, inside of these Sifrei Minim, aren't saved. Now, it says Gilyonin. My love, Gilyonin the Sefer Torah. Obviously, isn't this talking about the parchment of the Sefer Torah, separate from the Sifrei Minim, and it says Beferish Ein Matzilin. Sumer says, lo. Gilyonin, the Sifrei Minim. It's talking about the Gilyonim of the Sifrei Minim. Sumer says, that doesn't make any sense. And you look in the Hagos HaBach, Os Aleph, he says, the Gears of Rashi is, the Sifrei Minim Gufayu Matzilin. He says, are the Sifrei Minim, are they, it's a Lashon Bismia, are they going to be saved over here? That you would even have the Shaila? Now we read Hashta, Sifrei Minim Gufayu E Matzilin. If the Sifrei Minim themselves aren't going to be saved, so Goyonin Mibaya, would anybody really ask that, oh, the plain parchments of the Sifrei Minim, should we save those? You don't even save the actual shame of HaKadosh Baruch Hu that's written down in the Sifrei Minim. So certainly you don't save the parchments. So says, Hachi Kamar, this is what we're really saying over here. This is the question. The Sifrei Minim, Harei Heim Kigulyonim. What it's telling us over here is that the Sifrei Minim had the same status as parchment that's never had any Torah written on it. So it's not like the question that we were asking, what about the parchment of a real Sefer Torah that doesn't have writing on it intentionally? Do we save that or not? If that is the only thing that we have left of the Sefer Torah, do you save it or not? That we can't answer that question. The Gemara doesn't come to a conclusion for that question. This is the Abaye Lo Pshitale. The Bryce over here that talked about the Guyonim of the Sifrei Minim is talking about telling us that the Sifrei Minim, they are not allowed to be saved. They're no different than a regular piece of parchment that hasn't yet had anything written on it. You don't say that as well. And that's all we can learn, and we don't have an answer to our original question. Gufa. Now, we go back and we requote some of the things that we just said. Gemara said, HaGilyonim V'Sifrei Minim, this blank piece of parchment, or the Sifrei Minim, Ein Matzilin L'Sum Mipnei Hadleika. We said you don't save them on Shabbos from a fire. That's the opinion of the Tanakhama. That's what we had quoted. Now we add on Rav Yossi Omer. We have the opinion of Rav Yossi. He says, Bechol, on a weekday, Koder Eso Asaskoros Shebehen. On a weekday, you Koder, Rashi says, Chotech Chatichos Haklaf Mokom Hashem. You cut out the shame of Hashem, the Yudke Vavke that they wrote down. You cut that out, Begonzon, and that you bury. You hide that away. Vashar Sarfet, and the rest you go and burn, because it has no Kedusha to it. That's the opinion of Yossi. I'm Rabbi Tarfon. Rabbi Tarfon says, Akapach es bonai. I would go and bury my sons if I didn't go and do what I'm about to do. He's saying, I would curse myself, so to say, if I didn't go and do this. What? If it came into my hands, Shani Esro for some, yes, Askorishim hen. If such a safer came into my hands, I would go and burn the safer, including the Askoros. And he was using this like Lashon of a Shvua. Akapach es bonai. I would bury my children. Now, this is something else where we say you shouldn't go and say this because sometimes the words of a tzaddik come true, even in a situation where he didn't intend them to come true. But in any event, this is what he said. I would go and burn these svarim of the Sifrei Minim directly, even with the askaros in them. Shafilu odem rodev acharav lahargo. Rav Tarfon said, even if a person were to have somebody coming running after him to kill him, or the nachash was lakisho, or if a snake was coming to bite him, a fatal event, Nichnas lebeis avodah zarah, to save yourself, you'd be allowed to go into an avodah zarah house. However, ve nichnas lebateim shalelu, but you wouldn't be allowed to go into the min's house. Why is a min worse than an avodah zarah? He says shalalu makirim v'kofrin, because these minim were Jews and they nebuch were heretics, so they knew HaKadosh Baruch Hu makirin. And yet they were kofrin. They went against HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So that's far worse. V'halalu, these Ovdei Avodah Zarah, that were non-Jewish people, so they're doing something terrible, obviously. Even a non-Jewish person, it's not like worship Avodah Zarah. However, Ein Makirim, they never met HaKadosh Baruch Hu, so to say. They weren't introduced to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. They don't know anything about HaKadosh Baruch Hu, the Kofrin. And therefore, their sin of being Kofrin is not as bad as that of the Minim, who knew HaKadosh Baruch Hu and turned away. It's far worse for somebody who was raised in a frum household to go off the derech than somebody who never learned. He's a Tinok Shenishba, or an idolater, a non-Jewish person. That's far worse if you're a Yid that went off the derech than in these other scenarios, that you never recognize that Kodesh Baruch Hu. V'alei nakos of Omer, and about such minim, it says, v'achar adeles v'mezuzah, samt zichronech, that you didn't care about HaKadosh Baruch Hu, you put it behind the door. And the zichronech is a reference to these askaros, that you have no concern for HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So that's the opinion of Rabbi Tarfon. Of Rabbi Shmuel, Rabbi Shmuel said, Kav Chomer. You can learn out of Kav Chomer over here. Uma lasos shalom b'nish l'ishto. In order to make peace between a husband and a wife, the whole din of sota, the Torah tells us, Omer Torah, shmi shenichta b'kdusha. You're allowed to go and take HaKadosh Baruch Hu's name that was written with holiness, the Yud Kei Vav Kei, and Yimocha alamayim. And you're allowed to erase it, and the woman drinks the Mei Morim. If she didn't sin, she is going to return to her husband, and they can live happily ever after. HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, it's worth my while that you erase my name, my holy name, in order to make peace between a man and his wife. So, that's the Kav Chomer he's going to say. If the Torah allows us to erase the real shame of HaKadosh Baruch Hu to make peace between a husband and a wife, so halalu, these minim over here, shematilin kinna, the eva, the sachrus, these minim, when they cause all their troubles by their heresy, so they create a tremendous amount of kinna, of jealousy, the eva, of hatred, the sachrus is essentially another form of trouble over here, the fighting, ben yisrael, lavin, shemashamayim, they cause trouble because they lead people astray, and that leads people to be going against HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So halach has kama v'kama. If you're allowed to erase the shame of Hashem to make peace between a husband and a wife, the din of sota, so certainly you can erase the shame of Hashem. You should destroy these askaros that the Minim wrote over here that are causing strife between HaKadosh Baruch Hu and Klal Yisrael. That's the Kav Chomer. V'alei Mamar David, and about such Minim, David HaMelech said, Hello, misanecha Hashem esna. Those that hate you, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, I will hate them. Uvis kol mimechecha, Eskotot. And those that fight with you, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, I will fight with them. Tachlis sinos sinesim. I will have the most hatred for them. La'evim hayuli. And they'll be my enemies. So that's what David HaMelech said about such minim. In other words, these minim are far worse than even the Ovdei Avodah Zarah. And the Gemara continues and says, the Brisa says, Ukeshem she'ein matzilin osam ipnei adleiko. Just like you're not allowed to save them from the fire on Shabbos, so too, even on a weekday, kach ein matzilin osam. On a weekday, you're also not allowed to save them. Lomen amapoles, if they had a building crushing them, you're not allowed to go dig through the rubble to try to save these svarim. Lomen amayim, if they're under a flood, you don't save them. Lom midover hama'abdon, or anything that will destroy them, you're not allowed to go and stop that destruction. In fact, we go and actively destroy such things. Gemara continues and says, "Boy, mine Yosef bar Chonin, may Rabbi Avo." Yosef bar Chonin asks from Rabbi Avo the following shaila: "Hani sifrei devei avidon." This svarim that they used to write in Devei Avidan. Now, what are these Devei Avidan? So Rashi tells us this is svarim shekosu lehem haminim. These were books that the minim would write. Lisfakeach Yisrael. They would have fights. They would have debates with the Jewish people, and the makom shemisvakim shom korele bei avidon, and the place where they would have these debates, challenges, so to say, that's what's called bei avidon. It's interesting. This week is the week that we're going to lay in chukas. So there was a fast that the Chazal. It's written down in Shulchan Aruch. The Yechidim that still fast this on the sixth day of the week, on Friday of Parshas Chukas. It wasn't given a set date because Chazal are commemorating over here the burning of all the Shas in Paris. And this is something that we're going to say in the Kinos on Tisha B'Av, Shali Srufa Ba'esh. And this is a day that is a terrible, sad day in our history. And it was set up always on the Friday of Parshas Chukas. And that resulted, the burning of those of all those Shas, was because it was a debate between Rav Chil of Paris, one of the Tosfos, and the Qumran and the Goyim. And he won the debate, but of course, when we win, we don't always win. And they declared that the Shas was against their religion, and therefore they burnt all the Shas, Rachmana Litzlan. And therefore, Nebuchadnezzar, it's a terrible, terrible tragedy. They didn't have printing presses. You couldn't just go to the store and buy a new Shas. Somebody had to write them. They burned 22 wagons worth of Shas and other Sfarim. It was a terrible, terrible day for the Jewish people. The reason I bring that in over here is because that was basically this Divei Avidan. They would have debates. They challenged Rav Chil Paris to go and explain how the Jewish religion is not anti the Goyish religions. In any event, that's what these Sifrei Divei Avidan. They would write up books to have Tanakh. So what is the status of these Sfarim? So this is the question that was asked to Rabbi Avoh. And in, sometimes he said yes, sometimes la. The Rav Yabideh, it was weak. In other words, he didn't really know the answer. So Gemara says, Maisa Shehoya, Rav lo ozu levei avidan. Rav wouldn't go to these debates. The Koshi came levei snitzrafei. And he certainly didn't go into their houses of worship, these idolatrous temples that they had. He certainly wouldn't go over there. Rashi says, that was the Mokum Avodah Zarah, and Kach Shema, nitzrafei. So he wouldn't go there. In other words, he had wanted nothing to do with this Bei Avidan. However, Shmuel, he wouldn't go to the Bei Nitzrafei. You don't go into the place of their temples. However, he would go and debate with them as he felt it was necessary, so he would go over there. Now, they said to Rava, why don't you come to Bei Avidan and debate with us? My time, why don't you come to the Bei Avidan? And we'll have a vikuach, we'll have a debate with you. Amalui said to him, I can't make it there. Dikla planya ika b'orcha ukashile. There's a certain palm tree over there, and it's very difficult for me to get around there. Rashi says it may have had a certain smell to it, kashile recho. In any event, he was giving them a lame excuse that he couldn't get there. And the reason why Rashi says he didn't want to go there is because Shema sheyisfachlu, he's going to debate them, and Yavdu Alev Yargum, and they're going to kill him. We know Nebuch, unfortunately, throughout our history, the guy would want us to debate with them, we'd win the debate, and then they'd kill us. So he said, nothing doing. So he gave this lame excuse over here that I can't go there because of the tree. They responded to him, Niakre, okay, we'll uproot it, and then you can go. The tree won't be there. So he replied, nah, duchte kashli. The whole place is a difficult thing for me. You're going to go and uproot the tree. I still won't be able to go there. The smell, whatever it was, like I said, he was just pushing them off. He didn't want to go there, as Rashi said. He was afraid they were going to kill him. Mar Bar Yosef, however, said, Omar, ooh, ano minayu, ano. I'm one of them. Below mistafina minayu. And I'm not afraid of them. You know, we're buddies. So therefore, I can go. And what happened? Zimnachada Ozil, he went there one time, and Bola Sakuni, and they tried to kill him. In other words, there it wasn't a good thing to go to this Bei Avidan and debate with them. Mark continues to tell us another Maisa Shoya, Ima Shalom. Ima Shalom was the name of a great woman. She was Devisu, the wife of Rabbi Eliezer, the great Rabbi Eliezer at Gadol, Achase de Rabban Gamliel Havoy. And she was also the sister of Rabban Gamliel. We have a famous, famous story later on in Shas, where Rabban Gamliel and Rabbi Eliezer get into a big fight, and they have to put Rabbi Eliezer into Cherem. And Ima Shalom knew that even though Rabbi Eliezer had no personal grudge against Rabban Gamliel, because of this, the famous mice of the Taner Achinoi, she knew that in Shemayim, how highly regarded Rabbi Eliezer was, and this trouble that he was being made to go through in being put into Cherem, it would be held accountable for Rabban Gamliel. So she never, ever let him say Tachnun, right after Shemoneh Esrei. She always interrupted him from saying Tachlin every day because people don't realize we always get so happy when we don't say Tachlin. But the Gemara tells us that the addition of Tachlin to Shemoneh Esrei is a very, very powerful tefillah. We should always feel sad when we don't say Tachlin because of whatever the reason. In any event, she would always make sure that he never, ever could say Tachlin right after his Shemoneh Esrei. She would interrupt him every single day because she knew that if he said Tachlin, it would be a terrible thing that would happen to her brother, Rabbi Gamliel. One day she thought it was Rosh Chodesh, but she made a mistake. So therefore she said, oh, it's Rosh Chodesh. There's no Tachnun. I don't have to interrupt him. He wasn't interrupted. He said Tachnun. She found it out. She said, oh, my brother's going to die. And Kachoya, Rabbi Gamliel died that day because, again, the power of the Tefillah of Tachnun, and he somehow, even though he was correct in putting Rabbi Lezer, Hagadol Rabbi Lezer, Shamuti into Chayrim, nevertheless, he was held accountable for it. In any event, these are the players over here in this wonderful story that we're about to have. So, Ima Shalom, the sister of Rabbi Gamliel, they both concocted something against this Havi Hau philosopher B'Shavruse. There was a certain philosopher in their neighborhood. Now, what is this philosopher? Rashi says a min. He was one of these heretics. On the side, it brings down that elsewhere Rashi says this was Chachmei Umos. Philosophy means Chachmei Umos, people that were judges, leaders in the secular world. Tosfos has a different explanation. He gives several, but the last one, he says, it comes from the word in Istigarse, Pilosaba. Philosophus is a play of the word Pilosaba, which means Loshon Lotzon, schok. This is making fun, scoffing. That's what the root of philosophy comes from. It's scoffing and making fun. In any event, there was this philosopher. We turn to the Amud Beis, and the Havishakul Shma, the Lo Makabel Shochada. He was always trying to give the impression to everybody that he's a very fair judge and he doesn't take any bribes. Rashi says, Hayamotzi Olav Shem. He made sure that he was famous and known. She'eino Makabel Shochada. He didn't take bribes in Malidinim from the litigants, Haboy Lefonim, that would come to him. However, Vahim Makabel Besesa. He, in fact, did take bribes. He was only too happy to take bribes. Anyway, they wanted to cook his goose. They decided, Bo Lachuchebe. Rabbi Gamliel and his sister, Ima Shalom, said, that's it. We're going to take this guy out and we're going to out him, that he's really taking bribes. He's making himself to be such an honest judge, but he's really a horrible person. So what do they do? So, Ayala le shraga de dava for azul kame. So Ima Shalom went and bribed him. She gave him a golden lamp, right? Shraga dava, a golden lamp. And then she said, I'm going to come to you tomorrow to come to judge my brother and me. Fine. So he accepted the bribe. Next day they come. Amalei, she goes to this judge, to this philosopher, and she says, Bo'inon de niflege li benichse devei nashi. I would like to get a share of my father's estate. Our father passed away, and my brother took everything. Rabbi Gamliel took everything. But I want a share. We should divide it 50-50. So Amalehu, so this philosopher said, Plugu, ah, he was bribed, so he said, go and divide it up. Amalei, Rabbi Gamliel said to him, Kisiv lon b'makom b'ra, b'rata lo seiros. It says in our holy Torah that with the place of a son, then the daughter inherits. But if there is no son, the daughter doesn't inherit. So that's what he told the judge. So how can you tell us that they are giving the estate half to my wife, to my sister? Amalei, so this philosopher said to Rabbi Gamliel, this judge said, Min yomo de gileisun me'arochon, from the day that you were exiled from Eretz Yisrael, is notless oraisa de Moshe, the Torah from Moshe Rabbeinu is taken away, it no longer is in effect, v'yisyavis sifra chrita, and there's a New Testament that's coming into place, and that removed the Torah. And this New Testament says, Uksiv bei, b'ra ubrata, a son and a daughter both inherit exactly the same, like one. And therefore, I hereby paskin that your sister, Ima Shalom, gets half the estate. Now, what happens? The court closes, and Rabbi Gamliel goes, Lamachar, Hada Ayale Yu Chamra Luba. So Rabbi Gamliel goes and bribes him. He says, listen, I want my sister to get half the estate. I'm going to give you this very, very expensive donkey, this Chamra Luba. This is a very strong and powerful donkey. We had it earlier in the Masechta. We talked about it when we talked about the bits and the way to restrain the donkey. In any event, this is a very expensive bribe that he gave him. So now the court reconvenes the next day. Amalahu, they go down to the court the next day, and the judge says, I changed my mind. Shapilis Lesefe de Sifra. Go to the end of this new book that I told you about. Because of Bay, it says over there, Analo milamifchas minoraisa de Moshe Sisi. I didn't come to remove anything from the Torah of Moshe. And it says on the side, instead of the word velo, Ella leosufe aloraisa de Moshe Sisi. I only came to add on some new things, but not to take away anything that was written over there. And therefore, Oksiv Bey, it does say in the Torah, Bimkom Barah, when there is a son, Baratelo Teros, the daughter doesn't inherit. So in other words, he was bribed now by Rabbi Gamliel, and he gave the estate fully to Rabbi Gamliel. So Ima Shalom pipes up. Now everybody's watching this. They don't have any real din Torah over here. They know that what the Torah says. They weren't doing this to have a real struggle over the estate. They just wanted to show publicly to everybody what a faker this guy was. So Amalei. So she announces, "Hey, Nahor Nahorech Kishraga." She says to the judge, let your light shine like a lamp. Rashi explains over here, Haner orcha kishraga, romzo shenosel lo menorah bishochai. So she was telling everybody, hey, I gave this guy a bribe. I gave him a lamp. How come it's not shining forth? In other words, you accepted my bribe, and therefore I should win the case. What happened? So Rabbi Gamliel publicly says, I'm Rabbi Gamliel, also chamra, along came my donkey, who bought the shlishraga, and knocked over your lamp. In other words, Hakol Kidei Shiyishmu, Rashi says, Hamisasu Shom Nivluso Umihu. So everybody there will see what happened. They'll understand something's going on. They'll understand that they each gave a bribe, and this guy's a faker over here, and therefore they'll all know who he really was, and Kachoya. Then Gemara says, Umimei Ma Ein Korin. Why don't we read, we said in the Mishnah, the Chule, why don't we read Sifrei Ksuvim? So we gave a reason in the Mishnah, because we said that during the Shir, people aren't going to want to come to the Shir, which was learning Halacha, and therefore they're going to stay home and read the Ksuvim, which is more enjoyable. So Gemara says, Amar Rav, Lo Shanu, this din, that you're not allowed to read Ksuvim on Shabbos, so Rav says, Lo Shanu Ela Bizman Beis HaMedrash. That's only when they were giving the Shir, right? However, Avol Shelo Bizman Beis HaMedrash, when they're not giving the Shir, Gizunte Karin. We'd rather you read the Ksuvim than read the newspaper. We'd rather you read Ksuvim than go to sleep. So when the Rav's giving his Shabbos afternoon Shir, so by all means, don't read Ksuvim then. But as long as he's not giving Shir, is not during the time, Bizman Beis HaMedrash. So then, Shelo Bizman Beis HaMedrash, so Karin to your heart's content. That's what Rav said. Ushmul Amar, Shmuel disagreed. He says, Afilu Shelo Bizman Beis HaMedrash Ein Karin. He says, even when it's not the time of the Beis HaMedrash, he's still not a Rik Suvim. In other words, he's much more Machmir. Gemar says, really? Is it so? Ini? Oh, Nardoi Asri de Shmuel Hava. Shmuel was the Rosh Bahag in Nardoi. He was the Rav of that city. And what was the practice in Nardoi? But Nardoi, Poski Sidro B'Ksuvim, B'Nechosa de Shabasa. There was a regular class that they would have in Ksuvim on Shabbos. So how can you say you're not allowed to learn Ksuvim on Shabbos? Shmuel himself gave the Shia, so to say. He was the Rosh Yeshiva there and allowed that Shia to go on. So Gemara says, therefore, Eliit Mar Hochit Mar. If there really was a statement by Rav Shmuel, this is what they said. Amar Rav. Rav said, Lo Shanu, when we said in the Mishnah, don't learn Ksuvim, it's Ela B'Makom Beis HaMedrash. You're not allowed to learn Ksuvim in the Beis HaMedrash. That's where the Rav is giving his Shia. Avo Shalom B'Makom Beis HaMedrash. If you're not in the Shia, so then Karin, Gizun Tein. If you weren't coming to the Shia, so then you can go read. And Shmuel qualified and said, Shmuel Amar, no. Ben Bimkom Beis HaMedrash, Ben Shalom B'Makom Beis HaMedrash. Whether you're in the Beis HaMedrash or not, Bizman Beis HaMedrash Ein Korin. Don't say, well, I'm not in the Shir anyway. No, you should be in the Shir. And therefore, don't read Ksuvim when the Shir is going on. However, even Shmuel would say, Shelo Bizman Beis HaMedrash, if it wasn't the time that the Shir is going on, Gizunte Korin. And that's how Shmuel was allowed to go in Nardoi, to allow to have a Sidra in Ksuvim by Mincha Shabbos. Oh. V'az du Shmuel Temei. And Shmuel followed his own thoughts, his own Shita. That's how you can have over here that in Shmuel's own shtot, in his own shul, they would learn ksuvim because it wasn't at the time that the Rav was giving the shir. That's why it's allowed. Ravashi Omar, no. Li'olam kidam arun mi'karva. You actually could have it the way we first set up the machlokes. I, Shmuel, allowed them to learn in Ardoi. Says the Gemara, no problem. Ushmuel krav nechemya. Shmuel holds like Rav Nechemya. What is that? The Tanya. We learn in a braisa. Even though we said that you're not allowed to read Ksuvim, Avol Shonim Behen, but you are allowed to learn from them, V'darshim Behen, and to darshin them, and if you need to, Nitzrach L'Pasuk, maybe V'robo. You can even go take out a Ksuvim if you need to look up a certain Pasuk because of your learning, so then you'd be allowed to go and even look up a Pasuk. That's what the Tanakhama says. And on that, Omer of Nechemya, along comes with Nechemya, and he says, why did they not allow you to read from Kisvei HaKodesh? There was another reason, nothing to do with it's taking away from the shir. It's going to take away from people attending the Rav's shir. No. If you don't allow people to read Ksuvim, then you know what? They're going to have a certain fulfillment of another gzera. Kidei Shiyomru, Bikisvei HaKodesh Ein Korin, the kosher came bishtore hedyotos. There was a problem that people were reading secular stuff. They were reading business stuff. Rashi explains that this shtore hedyotos means cheshbonos, contracts and other things like that, or even igros hashluchos limso chepetz, even letters to find things. Tosfos says, no, he disagrees. Certain things you can read because it may be pikuach nefashos. You're getting a letter. You have to see what's inside the letter. That you could read. But for business deals, so you shouldn't be reading that. So what the rabbis did, according to Rabbi Nechemia, is they said, don't read ksuvim. People are going to say, whoa, we're not even allowed to read ksuvim. Alach has kama v'kama. We can't read contracts. We can't read business dealings. Because if we can't even read ksuvim, certainly we can't read that. So that was the purpose. And Shmuel was saying, according to this, Rabbi Nechemia, you're right. You wouldn't be allowed to go read ksuvim, even if it's not during the time of the shir that the Rav is giving, because it has nothing to do with the Rav's shir. It has to do with the fact that we wanted to establish, don't read shtaros. And therefore, we put in an extra enactment over here about not reading suvim, so the people will take the don't read shtaros seriously. But he himself didn't hold like that. And that's why in his shul, he allowed people to learn suvim, because he didn't hold like Rav Nechemia. He held like the Chachamim. Next Mishnah. Matzilin tikka sefer masefer. You have a fire, Rachmon Litzlan, and you want to go and take out the sefer Torah that's there. So it's in some sort of a container. It's in an aron. So you're allowed to take out the aron, even though the aron doesn't have the kedusha, you'd be allowed to save it from the fire. But since the sefer Torah is in it, you're allowed to take out the aron and the sefer Torah. Likewise, betikka tefillin in matfillin. You're allowed to take out the tefillin zekel, the bag that the tefillin are in, with the tefillin. You don't have to take out the tefillin and leave the bag there to burn. You're allowed to do this. The alpha pshiyesh besochin mos. And furthermore, even if there's something else in there, if there is inside this tick or inside the aron for the sefer Torah or for the tefillin zekel, if there's money in there, which is muktzah, you're still allowed to go and take it out because of the sefer Torah or the tefillin. Also, and where do you take it out that it's safe from the fire? We're saying you're allowed to take it to a mavoi she'ena mefulish. You're allowed to take it to a mavoi that is not mefulish. Now, normally, a mavoi means an area that's enclosed on three sides. And that's called a mavoi she'ena mefulish. There's an open on the fourth side, but three sides are enclosed. Then you have a mavoi mefulish, which means that it goes through and through. It's only two sides, and it has an opening on one end, and it goes through and through, and it opens up on the other end. That's the normal definitions of a mavi foolish and a mavi she'enu foolish. Here, as we'll learn in the Gemara, it means something else. We'll see three different interpretations in tomorrow's Shia as to what mavi she'enu foolish means over here. So we'll leave that for then, but where are you allowed to go bring it? You're allowed to even bring it into something that won't have, as we'll see, the ultimate answer will be, it doesn't have a sheet of mavayos, even though you're allowed to carry into it, but you wouldn't be allowed to carry into it without a sheet of mavayos. And here, they didn't make a sheet of mavayos, they didn't make an Erev, and therefore, that's why you would normally not be allowed to bring it in. But since the Etzem Din is that you were allowed to carry it there, it's only the Rabbanan that you can't carry it there, so in order to save the tick with the Sefer Torah, or the tick with the tefillin, you're allowed to bring it out to this mavui she'enu mefulish. And then Bezeri says, no, aflu mefulish. He's even more makel, even to a mefulish one you're allowed to. Again, in tomorrow's shiur, we'll discuss what's the difference between the two and what the machlokas is between the Tanakama, the Chacham over here, and Ben Bezeri. Let's start the Gemara. Tana Rabbanan. Arbaat so shecholios b'Shabbos. We're talking here about Pesach. So if Pesach, Erev Pesach, falls out on Shabbos, so then you have the bringing of the Korban Pesach, it has to be shechted then, but you have a problem. What do you do once you've shechted it? So the Tanakhama says, Mavshitin es haPesach erechoze. You're allowed to go inflate the Korban Pesach all the way down to the breastbone, the choze, the manubrium. Divrei Rabbi Shmuel, Vinosho, Yochim, and Broka. That's his opinion. In other words, you can't flay it all the way. You can just flay it enough that you can take out the sacrificial fats, because those have to be burnt on the Mizbeach, and the rest you'll do after Yontif. The Chacham Omrim Mavshitin es kulo. The Chacham say, no, you're allowed to go and flay it all the way like you normally would. Now, Bishlam Rishwal Ben Osho Rav Yochanan Broko, we understand why he limited it, because Doha is Abed Le Tzorach Kavoa, because you did what you needed to do in order to take out the sacrificial fats, the parts that have to be put up to the Mizbeach. El Rabbanon, but according to the opinion of the Rabbanon, it says, Mavshitin es kulo, my timer. So why are you allowed to go inflate it the whole way? So I'm a Rabbi Barachan, I'm a Yochanan, based upon the Pasuk, the Yomar Kor, the Pasuk tells us, now it's only an Asmachta, because this is a Pasuk from Mishle, and we can't learn how to do it from Mishle, so it's an Asmachta. And it says there, Kol Paal Hashem L'maneyu, that everything that Hashem does is for, ultimately, it should honor HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So therefore, you're allowed to go and flay this over here all the way in order to give honor to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So the Gemara says, "V'hocha ma'ala maneu ika." How is there by flaying it all the way? Are you giving more honor to HaKadosh Baruch Hu? So we have two opinions. Rav Yosef Amar, the reason says you're allowed to flay it all the way. Rav Yosef says, "Shlo yasriach," because if you don't flay it all the way, the meat will spoil. Right, the hot Mediterranean sun during the time of Pesach, so it could spoil. So therefore, you have to open it up so the air can get in there and it won't spoil. So therefore, that's why you're allowed to flay it all the way. That's Rav Yosef. Rav Amar, Rav gives a different terrace. Shlo yukach shemayim mutolim kinevela. Because if it's lying there on the hook without being fully flayed, so you're not taking the meat out, so therefore it looks like it's a nevela. It looks like something that, we're not going to waste our time with this, and therefore the Korban Pesach is going to look like a nevela, and that's not proper. So these are two reasons over here why the Chachamim would say you're allowed to flay it the whole way. Might be nice. Is there a nafkamina between these two reasons? The Gemara says, yeah. Ika benai, there's a difference between the two reasons. Number one, the manach abisora de dava. If you put it on a golden table. Now, if you put it on a golden table, so then it's not lying there, mutolim kinevela. So according to Rava's answer, that would be fine. And you wouldn't be allowed to flay it the whole way if you're putting it on a golden table. But according to the concern about spoiling, Rav Yossi's reason, shalo yasriach, that would apply here as well. Alternatively, inami yoma de astona. If it's a day that has a wind, Rashi explains that this wind, the astana, is going to go and prevent it from being spoiled. And therefore, in such a situation where it won't spoil, Rashi says, Ruach Tzfonis is the northern wind. Shehi may notice it's a mild wind. Lochama v'lotzina, it's not too hot, not too cold, as Gemara Yevamos tells us. And therefore, it won't spoil. And therefore, this is a positive thing. It won't spoil. You wouldn't have to flay it the whole way. However, according to the opinion that it's lying there, Mutalim can avail it, that would still apply even if there's a northern wind. In any event, that's what the Chachamim do with this pasuk. Hi, Paul Hashem Lamaneu, my Ovid Luhu, or this, quote the whole pasuk, call Paul Hashem Lamaneu, what would he do with this pasuk? After all, it's not a good answer that the Chachamim gave. So Gemara says, Rav Yochanan, Rav Shmuel ben Osher, Rav Yochanan ben Roka would say, Shalayotzi eso emurin kodim hashata sa'ar. This pasuk is to tell us not to take out the emurin until you flayed it. So you might have thought you could just like stick a knife in there and don't flay it at all. How are you allowed to flay it until to the chazet that you could at least take out the emurin? So when it says, my timer, why do you need this pasuk to tell me that? Because Amar Rav Huna, Breder of Nasan, Mishum Nimin. Because you could have taken them out, but then you're going to get hairs stuck in it. If you just shred it, so to say, and pull out the sacrificial fats, you're going to have hairs attached to them. Therefore, you're allowed to go and flay it. That's why you need the Pasuk, according to Rabbi Shmuel ben Osher, Yochanan ben Broka. Where it says, Amar Chista, Amar Rukva. Chista said the name of Marukva. Maya Adjule Chavraya, Rabbi Shmuel ben Osher, Yochanan ben Broka. What did the Rabbanan over here answer to Rav Yochanan Broka? They wanted to support their viewpoint that you are allowed to flay the animal the whole way. So what additional information did they argue with him? So Hachi Karmelei, this is what the Chachamim told Rav Yishmol ben Osher, Rav Yochanan Broka. We're allowed to go and flay it all the way. And they base it on the following. In Matzilin, tik ha-sefer ma-sefer, if you're allowed to go and save the Sefer Torah with its tik, so lo nafshid es haPesach meoro. So aren't you shouldn't in that situation shouldn't be allowed to go flay the entire Korban Pesach, even though as a result you're going to benefit from having the hide. In other words, you're allowed to take the tick out with the money in it, even though you're taking the tick out to take the sefer Torah. So, but you're allowed to go take the money out at the same time. So to over here, you're allowed to go and flay the animal because you're doing that for a Kodesh Baruch Hu. So you can go flay the animal for all the way. That's what they wanted to tell him. Gemara says, that's not comparable, me dummy. Hasam tilto. In the situation where you're taking out the money, all you're doing is tiltul muktza. You're taking the container that has money in it. That's only the Rabbanan. Hach malacha. Flaying, that's a real ad malacha. So how can you bring me a raya from that we're allowed to do with the Rabbanan and say, therefore, we should be allowed to do with the raisa? Gemara says, Taka, you're right. I'm Ravashi. Therefore, betarti pligi. They're actually arguing on two aspects over here. Number one, pligi betilto. They're arguing about moving something that's muksa. And then also, pligi malacha. They're also arguing about doing this malacha. What do we mean exactly over here? So when we're arguing about tilto, they're arguing about the flayed animal tilto and comparing it to the money case. What do we mean by that? When they're arguing over here, betilto, they're saying once the animal has been flayed by the Korban Pesach, you're not allowed to move it from, let's say, the sun to the shade because it's muksa. That's where they're giving a raya from the Mishnah our Mishnah that said you're allowed to move the tick, which has the muktzah thing inside of it. That's, they're arguing pligi betoto. And separately, they're also arguing pligi melacha. Can you flay it or not? V'achi karmale. And this is what the Chacham is saying to Rishmol, Benosha v'yochin v'broka. Im matzilin tikka sefer ma'sefer. If you're allowed to go and save the Sefer Torah with the tick inside of it that has money, so too. Lo natatul or agav baser, so too. You should also be allowed to go and move the or because of the baser. Just like you're allowed to move the tick because of the Sefer Torah, so too you can be allowed to move the hide because of the baser. That's the argument. The Gemara rejects that as well. Midamin. How can those two be the same? Hasam nasa baser to davar mutter. In the case with the tick, so you have the Sefer Torah that's inside of it, and you also have the money. So it's a basis l'davar amutter. But hacha nasa basis l'davar aser. But here, the hide is going to be something that it's a basis for something that is not allowed to be moved. It's Shabbos. You're not allowed to move the meat. The meat is raw meat. So therefore, it's not a basis l'davar amutter. It's a basis l'davar aser. So that's not a good answer as well. So Gemara says a different terrace, but that will wait till tomorrow. Mitzvah Hashem, we'll pick up over here tomorrow. With that, we conclude today's shiur.